You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. From the Jetsons' Rosie to Data on Star Trek, robot companions have long held a special place in pop culture.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Exterminate. You read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave.
I may be homely, Buster, but I'm S-M-A-R-T smart.
But now artificial intelligence is moving off the screen and into our everyday lives. And as that happens, robots are starting to look and sound more like real humans. So how might that change the way that we interact with robots? What kinds of ethical issues do robots with human-like qualities pose? To explore these questions, we have Lionel Robert here with us. He's an associate professor at the University of Michigan School of Information.
Well, we make them more human-like because it increases our acceptance of the robot. We tend to trust robots that are more like us. So the more human they are, the more we want to interact with them.
And some of your recent research was looking at human employees and their willingness to trust robots and work with robots. What did you find out about the way that humans were interacting with their robot colleagues?
So what we found out was that to what degree people believed the robot was similar to them in terms of gender and personality, they were more likely to trust the robot and want to work with the robot.
So give me an example.
So we looked at things like the robot's personality, their attitude toward work. To what degree you shared the same beliefs about work, showing up for work, the amount of work you do, the amount of time you put in there. To what degree that was similar to a robot, you had a higher propensity to trust that robot.
So what kind of application? Let's say, because when we think workplace robots, I think a lot of us are kind of back years ago with, you know, the painting robots in the in the auto line, but we're seeing them used in different ways working alongside people, aren't we?
Yeah, so in our study, what we did was there was a robot that could work with you in a warehouse. Mm-hmm. And so basically it could move around just like a human, and in essence, it was as functional as a human. So in that sense, there's no limit to how human a robot can become and what aspect we can engage in a robot.
So what do you see as the main benefits for companies in making these workplace robots more personable?
So one, you increase acceptance by their coworkers. The coworkers will enjoy interacting with them. They won't be so hostile. I think now that there's a big concern that human workers are having a more negative attitude to our robots because they know that those robots are replacing either someone they know's job or could eventually replace their job.
So it almost sounds like it's a double-edged sword. If you make that robot more human-like, I might be inclined to work with it, but I also might project suspicions on it?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it becomes easier to see how that robot is replacing your job or your friend when the more human it is. If the robot is sort of like a giant arm, well, you see it as a giant arm,
yeah.
No big deal. But if it actually has two legs and two hands and it's walking around and talking, all of a sudden it looks like a competitor.
And can you point to examples of robots being used in the workplace in a way that does not displace humans?
So I think what people are now looking at are robots that basically enable workers. So, for example, in healthcare, right now there's a lot of healthcare technology and automation used to support the doctors making decisions. Same thing in the military. A lot of automation is designed to support the humans making better decisions, and mainly because those are two areas where someone's life is on the line, and when mistakes are made, you can only hold a human accountable. So in those cases, we want to design technology to support humans, not to replace them.
So the jobs that might be dangerous or dirty or very, very much a drudge job, we could see shifting those to the robots and freeing that human for better stuff?
So that's the idea. But I would pause a second because I hear this argument a lot. Yeah. But it depends on who you're talking to when you say those jobs that are drudge and freeing humans up. Most of our workforce are people who pick up heavy things, people who engage in manual labor. And telling those people that, you know, you're going to have all this extra time to do wonderful things. Yeah, for those people, this is not going to be something to free up extra time over and above the fact that they would be unemployed.
Now, robots obviously are not just showing up at work. They are getting into our homes. Give us some ideas of where robots either are being used in homes now or it's coming soon.
What's coming soon is that when you get past a certain age where you need help, you won't be going to a retirement home or a hospital. You'll have a personal robot that will take care of you. The robot will be your companion, your nurse, and in some cases it can be your lover, maybe. And so that robot is going to be the person that takes you around, a companion. Your kids will be able to call that robot to see how you're doing. And that's where I think a big push is going to come over the next 20 years when it comes to using robots in the home.
And very important, as opposed to a Roomba going around vacuuming the floor, to have those human-like qualities.
Exactly.
What kinds of qualities might we see? What's being engineered?
So we're going to see robots designed to fit the typical human perception of beauty. Robots are going to fit what we think are beautiful. Size, shape, voice, all those things are going to be designed such a way that we find those things attractive.
There was a case in Canada where a man was arrested for buying a sex robot made in Japan in the form of a young girl.
Exactly. So this is a problem with that, is that when we humanize robots, we change our expectations of the robot, but also of other people's behavior toward the robot. So in that example, you can say it's a robot. That person can do whatever they want to do with their robot. But because it appears to be an underage girl, our expectations about what they can do with that robot fundamentally changes.
So are we breaking down social norms then with this ability to make such a lifelike robot?
I think so. We could eventually get to the same point when we had slaves. Right? There was something about owning slaves that really hurt the owner in ways that the owner didn't appreciate. It's an element of dehumanization. And it's not clear to me that that won't happen when we have robots that will look and appear to be human that we are around.
So how does that get addressed so that we look into it before it happens to us?
So I think right now the push is to see if we can do it. That's the push. Everyone's trying to see if we can do it and leverage the benefits of it. I don't think anyone's thinking about should we do it or what kind of problems is going to happen, right? I mean, now we know that sexual robots is a growing industry. And as these robots become more human-like, that's one particular industry that's going to benefit the most. But we never stop to ask, is that something that we really want? Is there harm to our societies when people begin to develop relationships with robots and not other people?
You know, it strikes me that what you're talking about reminds me of HBO's Westworld.
Yes.
When you're thinking about the questions that raises, which comes to, is the technology getting ahead of our ability to create kind of ethical norms and laws that regulate how we humans are going to use robots?
I think it is, because I think right now we're in part assuming that it's just going to be a machine. And I don't think we're understanding the implications of when it crosses that line, when that robot becomes indistinguishable from a human, and the consequences of that.
So that's where your research is looking?
Exactly. Looking at the implications of that. I'm trying to signal that, hey, there's some downsides to this. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I think we should begin to think about the problems associated with it.
What kind of policy changes might you, as you kind of think about what's coming in this age to come of humanized technology, what kind of policy changes do you find yourself thinking maybe we need to look at this?
Well, you know, we know that corporations are humans too, right? Or people too, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no reason why a robot can't have rights. There's no reason why a robot can't engage in a relationship. I mean, we think now that's crazy, but a lot of things that are perfect example. When the Dallas shooter got killed, I don't know if you remember this case of Dallas, they used a robot to go and find the shooter, and they attached C4 to the robot. It found the person, and it blew up. Now, maybe 100 years ago, we would use a dog to do that. Today, that's unacceptable. We would never have tolerated use of a dog. You can fast forward 100 years from now, and it may be unacceptable to use a robot in that manner.
Lots of questions being dug into by Lionel Robert, who's Associate Professor of the Robotics Institute at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you.